Hello and welcome to Charles in Charge. I'm Nicola Charles, all the way from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. We are in extraordinary times here in this beautiful, beautiful land down under, which most of you know as probably one of your, if not the favourite holiday destination. People come here to get sun, to dive, to go fishing, rock climbing. And the people of Australia have been extremely welcoming to people from all over the world. And we are finding ourselves in a pretty dire situation. I don't know what kind of impression our politicians are giving you in America and the UK and Canada and South Africa and globally when they're there and when they attend these conferences like COP26. But the reality of what's going on in Australia is very, very different probably to what you're hearing about it. And I'm sure you've seen the clips of the police brutality throughout the anti-lockdown and anti-vaccine mandate protests that we've had here. But there's a much deeper issue going on that has been slowly coming to the forefront of my mind. And it's an issue that actually, in the end, if we don't address this one, could be a route that we are all going to go down as a nation in Australia. And yesterday I had a conversation with a truly incredible lady who has put herself on the stage in Australia to fight for Indigenous tribes, for Aboriginal people. And she is actually a former Crown prosecutor. She is a lawyer. She is a businesswoman. She's had more than two decades experience working on the ground towards economic progress for Aboriginal people. And it's funny, isn't it? Because our leaders always do a lot of virtue signaling and use a lot of narrative about wanting to help the Aboriginals and help Indigenous tribes. But actually, when you dust it off and look at what's really going on, that couldn't be further from the truth. So I've had a lovely conversation with Josephine Cashman, a former Crown prosecutor, about what's happening in Australia, the truth of what's happening. And I'd love for your guys' opinion. Have a listen to this.
So I'm interviewing a fascinating lady today. She is actually a bit of an Australian hero because I think any woman that manages to do as well as Josie has in what essentially most women know to be a man's world generally, no matter what industry you're in. But Josie is a former Crown prosecutor. And she's also part Indigenous. I'm sure she'll tell us a lot about that. But Josie has a lot to say about what's going on in Australia at the moment. And like me, she's become very concerned about the effect that's having on Aboriginal people in Australia, which to me are a national treasure. So hi, Josie, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because I think it's better coming from you than from me.
Okay, no worries. Well, I firstly, thanks for the great introduction. I'm a proud Australian, firstly, but I'm blessed to have both Aboriginal and colonial heritage. And I know about my ancestors in detail. And I've lived all around Australia as a child and an adult. And I'll explain later why I became involved in this. But basically, I've worked intensely in Aboriginal communities for the last 20 years and lived in them and as a child. And I've been on this quest for 20 years to get to the bottom of some of these issues that I'm going to raise with you today, because at the time I saw so much, I'd say death and destruction.
Wow.
And also the waste of human potential.
Yeah.
Which I could see no logical explanation for it when I was in my early 20s. I could see no logical explanation for it. And it really actually made a promise to God and to other people.
Wow.
That I'd get to the bottom of it. And I literally had I lived in this community which is on the border of New South Wales and Victoria. And I'll go into that later, but in 1996 it descended into a riot with guns, firebombing of houses, etc.
Right.
And I literally packed up and wanted to get to the bottom of it because it didn't make sense. And I did a double degree, communications and law, and I worked the whole way through. And
yeah.
I ended up working at the DPP while I was studying, which is a prosecution in New South Wales.
Yeah.
And I got some of the highest sentences for a historical sexual assault we did, I should say, and for sexual assault. And then I've been a senior solicitor in remote communities, or some of the most remote communities in Australia. So, you know, I've spoken at the Full Human Rights Council about violence against Indigenous women, you know, and it wasn't until I wanted answers. Wanted answers. I was on a government committee for the Indigenous Affairs Minister because of well-known paedophilia that the full force of the media and the establishment came after me. And it was really good because I've developed such strong relationships in Aboriginal communities. I was able to go, wow, what's going on? It doesn't make sense. And we were able, a few of us, to really work quickly and stop at things like BLM without any resources. So, you know, it's been, this is light over the dark, really. And I worked very hard in my life, and to be put in this position was just like, whoa. But I believe that, you know, that my insights, I hope, I want to share them.
Yes.
I want people to understand because there's a lot of lies that have been told.
So
and to Aboriginal and to Australian people, and we're actually in a very, very dangerous situation at the moment, I believe.
We are, and we'll get to that dangerous situation because that is a danger for us all of us as Australians. But can you just... just talk a little bit more. Do you think that there was a concerted effort by, let's just call it the powers that be, to hold Aboriginal people back?
So let's just call it the United Nations.
Right.
Let's just call it the evil United Nations.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, Australia is a really, in my view, it's sacred land.
Yeah.
Because We Aboriginal people are hunter-gatherers, fact, because we didn't have hoofed animals. Hoofed animals correlates with the invention of the wheel, etc. And it was Wilberforce, and, you know, 1978, and a group of Christians who fought to end slavery in the British Empire, and they firstly got, you know, some legislation through in the early 1800s, but it was finally abolished in 1833. So, and then you had this group of humanitarians overseeing the British colony for 70 years for their treatment of Aboriginal people. So there's been a lot of lies said about the colonisation of Australia because compared to other countries, Aboriginal people were British citizens the time of arrival. And that's not to say everything was great, but it wasn't state-sanctioned murder, and Aboriginal people weren't slaves. And there's evidence pre-1901 that Aboriginal people have owned orchards, they were fishmongers, and things have actually gone backwards for Aboriginal people in what I can see after Federation.
Yeah, because you told me yesterday when we spoke, you said that the Aboriginal communities were sort of pushed out into shanty towns and just totally disregarded.
Well, okay, we've got the Pilbara strike in 1946, and that was really run by the communists, the whole thing. So what happened, and I'm sure there were probably, I'm not saying there weren't examples of people who weren't treated the best way they can, but a lot of Aboriginal people, because they were British subjects pre-1901, right?
Yeah.
They were entitled to the minimum British wage. they were part of the industrialisation of Australia, right? And industrialisation is a good thing because people live longer, you know? And I know in remote communities they want more technology because it makes your life easier. It improves human life. But in my area, it was the first land grant given by the agricultural company. It's about a couple of hours north of Sydney. And, yeah, there was a massacre here. But, you know, it wasn't state sanctioned, but that's another. Mm. It's actually the Dutch East India Company was involved in that, which Biden and Harris is, both descended as from the Dutch East India Company. But I'm descended from 13 people who were left. And the agricultural company actually employed Aboriginal people as hut keepers. And one of the first recorded marriages was of a convict and a hut keeper in my area. But back to the story, Aboriginal people were part of that the great industrialisation of Australia. Yeah. And a lot of Aboriginal people lived and they had their own quarters on big properties. And so when the Pilbara strike came, the communists came and said, no, you've got big broad wages, really dominating.
Yeah.
Now, I've got no problem with people, but it wasn't that sort of relationship. So what happened was I don't think the farmers could afford, you know, these demands, and people ended up on shanty towns, and it far worse. And I spoke to a lot of Aboriginal people. I've recorded their stories, and people are generally upset about this division. Now a lot of the old people talk about it was a much better time when they were living on farms. So that's led me to that.
You know what's interesting about that for me, Josie, is, you know, I'm not entirely sure that isn't going to happen again with all of us, because this biometric ID vaccine passport rubbish that they're bringing in now for all Australians, well, they're selling it as a financial inclusion system. It will actually be a financial exclusion system. You know, if you're someone who's listed as paying your bills late, I know that's something I do, then, you know, you drop down a tier in society. And I just feel like this is being sold to us as something that's for the good of our health. And actually, this is a form of slavery.
Oh, absolutely. I don't trust these people at all.
Yeah.
And I don't trust these people at all. And, I mean, we can get into this, but, you know, what I want to talk to you about, you know, and please stop me, is that idea of people being moved off their land is very close to becoming a reality in Australia.
Yeah.
It's very close because they've done such a good job of dominating and oppressing the voice of Aboriginal people.
Yeah.
Right? The people in the media are hand-selected. They're not selected by Aboriginal people.
No.
Aboriginal people are controlled by a web of NGO organisations.
Mm.
The land title system has been designed by the UN. So if you'd like me to go into that briefly.
Well, I mean,
that is Agenda 21, and we're very close to losing our country.
Yeah, I do believe we're close to losing the country. You know, what concerns me about this, Josie, as well, is I just really, really dislike hypocrisy. And I saw Scott Morrison in Newcastle 3 or 4 days ago with an industry leader, someone from the port, I think. And he was doing that thing of thanking the Indigenous people and the tribal leaders for the land they were standing on. And at the same time, I know and you know that these Indigenous tribes are not being treated well. And so for my money, globally, what people are seeing is a lot of lip service being paid to the Indigenous people, the Aboriginals of this country. But if they were here, they would see that their actual treatment is really not good and not what they say it is it?
No, and Scott Morrison, I've written to Scott Morrison with a lot of elders, and I was a senior advisor to his minister, and he ignored me. He's ignored us, he's treated us with contempt, he's supporting a fake Aboriginal who's connected to the UN, who is trying to erase our ancestors, and his book is all through schools, and they're doing it because they're planning to mount a high court challenge on Terra Nullius to take 70 to 80% of Australia Paul Keating. Paul Keating designed the Native Title Act with five failed Aboriginal leaders and cut every single Aboriginal person out. And they cut them out of the Uluru Statement. I've got all the evidence on my website. And they just use us like we don't exist. And they've got all these fakes in positions within government.
Yeah.
And Aboriginal people are very confused. And what I've been able to do is lift the veil, because they want Aboriginal people to think it's racism and to hate Australia for it.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, they tell them, the discourse is they get all this money for mining royalties and sitting around. No, the mining royalties are locked up, and you've got people in the government, one of them, Andrew Bragg, who was made young leader of the World Economic Forum, who gets secret reports on how much money is in those trusts. The Aboriginal people are under a different land structure. They're under a different corporation structure. The Australian Crime Commission said that the corruption is rife. I left that Aboriginal community because I knew there was an issue with law and order. They have taken the police out on purpose to make Aboriginal people and our culture look like we like abusing children, like we like domestic violence, because they're planning to put us all into ghettos.
Yeah, they do.
I'm convinced. I'm convinced, and I've got the documentation there, and I've put it up there, and there's been silence.
How dare they remove policing?
I mean, they're involved in a plot to take Australia,
yeah.
And the Australian people have got to stop being fearful, and they've got to know that the first people of this country,
yeah,
are trying to protect them.
Yeah,
we're trying to protect everybody.
If we if we don't do something about this issue, and we should have done something about this issue for a long time.
No one knew. I've unveiled it. I'm telling you, no one knew. They've done such a good job. No one knew. This is new.
So, Josie,
this is because I've been around it all my life, and I'm able to, and because I'm extremely principally stubborn.
Yeah.
I mean, they rang all my clients. Right, I set up a charity and I worked my own money to fund the charity. They did everything to destroy me, everything possible. And it's because I'm a principled person and I care a lot about Australia,
yeah,
that I've kept on going.
So, my concern is that we are suffering, all of us in Australia, and now suffering the weight of these decisions and these things that are signed by people who have no jurisdiction. The UN, as far as I'm concerned, has no jurisdiction over Australian land. And so what we're worrying about and thinking about is these land grabs and the mistreatment of all of us in Australia. But my concern is it's because of its geographic position with regard to China, because I think these people have very long plans. How do you feel about that on the bigger picture?
I think they've had long plans for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, they've infiltrated the major parties. They're all crooked.
Yeah.
And what the Australian people have to do is they have these a small group of people. They're a small group of people. We've got the numbers. They're playing games. They're playing psychological games.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got to rise above it. This issue here is their Achilles heel. I'm telling you, that's why they don't want to cover it, because they don't have the support of Aboriginal community. This issue is something they can't control. I've watched them. They play both sides. They have puppets on both sides, and they play it out, the conflict out. It's fake conflict in the media.
It is, and
issue is the thing that we have to. Not just as Australian, not just as Aboriginal people, not just Australian, but people of the world. They have to help us.
Yeah.
Because if they do it here, we're stuck. The world's going into darkness. Because the Asia Pacific is, yes, you're right, geographically, this is ground zero.
Yeah.
This is what we need to. This, and, you know, I believe this is a sacred country. You think about it. We missed all the wars here, right?
Yeah.
In Europe, you know? And our we have still, and how they control African Americans, right, with this BLM,
yeah,
and with this calling them 50 cents and all this rubbish, right?
Mm.
They haven't been able to do that to Aboriginal people, because we've got our connection to the land. And people of the world, we were all hunter-gatherers, right? And people are attracted all over the world to Aboriginal people. Why? Because we were all hunter-gatherers. And our paintings are like a sacred matrix, right? It's not a different religion. It's a framework, right?
Yeah.
A sacred matrix of belonging. Do you know how they got away with all this stuff in the world? Because they created these fake tribes of colour, fake tribes of this, fake tribes of that. Mm. In our ancient law, right? L-O-R-E, everything is in a family relationship within the environment. And that's why human beings look at Aboriginal stuff and they feel that belonging. That's why when people come to Australia, they feel that connection to the land because it's ancient.
Yeah.
This is a very important battle for humanity.
I believe so too, because what they're trying to do is, you know, like myself, you know, these tribes and also many Australians Australia is a very spiritual place. It is a very spiritual land. And I'm just concerned with all these, I'm concerned and I hate to associate it, but I'm concerned with all the vaccine rollouts and the monetization and digitization of everything, that it is a global removal of spirit and soul. And it's putting value on things that...
This connection isn't colour-based.
No.
That's the thing they don't like about us.
That's right.
There's 300 and something languages in this country. There is not one reference to race in our language. And this, I love technology, but we have ancient belonging. We don't look at human beings like they do, right?
Yeah.
And anybody else, what they've done to Aboriginal people, any other group would have taken up arms. They offered Aboriginal people arms. Aboriginal people have not got involved in end that violence because we're not that people. We love people. We love people. And if Australians feel that connection to the land, they are as valid as anybody else as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
Because being Australian is a spiritual connection.
Definitely.
It's a spiritual connection. And, you know, a lot of the Old Testament stories are reflected in our creation stories. Yeah. We have that still. We have giants. We have fallen stars. We have also, you know, and the thing is, back to this spirit, it is a spiritual battle. And one of the big things in our culture, and this is one of the things every individual has to do, is emotional discipline. Because they are playing with our emotions. And the thing is, we have the numbers. We have the numbers. We have the numbers. I've heard in Victoria there are only 3,000 police officers.
That's right.
Able to be deployed.
Yes, that's
at
true.
Any one time now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not. I don't want any violence on this country. We've never had a war on this country. We've never had a war on this country. But we can do it without that.
We can just say no.
Yeah, we can say no. And I believe, I know. The people, whether it's the Lebanese, I've worked in Bankstown, in the middle of, what they say, little Beirut, right? My best friends growing up, my first best friend couldn't speak English from Thailand. I mean, I know that whether they're new Australians or colonial Australians, they love Aboriginal people.
Yeah.
They love them. And what has happened in Australia is, there's been double the funding for 50 years for Aboriginal people. But it's been going to this web of UN organisations.
Oh, everything
has,
yeah.
And then the discourse in the media is Aboriginal people lazy. And then they get these fake Aboriginals and others to spew this white hate rubbish in the media.
Yeah.
And make out these people representing all Aboriginal people. So Australians, I think, out of anything, have felt hurt, right?
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been unveiled. They felt hurt, but I'm telling Australians today that I've got videos of the top tribal elder in Central Australia, and he's saying, I want to help the Australian people.
Yeah.
And they're in the worst situation ever. They're being bullied every single day. these people.
Yeah.
But I've been unveiling it to them because this old fella said to me, and you can see the video, white fella law. I said, come on, old fella. I said, that native title, that ain't white fella law.
Yeah.
I said, that was designed by Paul Keating.
Yeah.
With five failed Aboriginal leaders.
So
and I mentioned one of them to him, Noel Pearce, and he goes, he's the biggest liar in Australia. Mm. So this is what the top tribal leader,
yeah,
right, in Central Australia thinks about the people that the government's selecting.
Well, they're choosing a narrative, aren't they? And they're doing it globally. They're doing it in Europe. They're doing it in America. But this narrative of these race wars, I mean, it's just not going to fly here. I think you told me yesterday that a large percentage of Aboriginal people are married to European Australians. So that proves for a fact that they're not racist.
I mean, I'm a descendant. I mean, my ancestor was the only literate man on the mid-north coast. He married an Aboriginal woman. They're trying to say we were slaves. Slaves don't get to marry.
Yeah.
Okay? That's number one. They're owned by their slave master. Right? And it's a load of rubbish because 77% of Aboriginal people marry outside because we're not racist like these other people who are obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea, it's a false tribe in my view because as human beings are made up of four colours anyway, our skin, right? Mm. And the thing is, Aboriginal people in the last 200 or so years have mixed with every single race and religion.
Yeah.
On the planet.
Yeah.
Every single one. Because it's a different form of, they've split us up into all these different groups. But what I'm asking, and even left and right, it's all rubbish. We need to come under, in Australia and in other countries, under human values,
yeah,
Australian values, and stop allowing this to divide us. Because I've been around these people. I know who they are in Australia.
Yeah.
I know the Green Elites. I know their names. I've named them on my website. And I've even been to some of their houses. And they're arrogant. And they've made a lot of mistakes and they've left a lot of trails. What people need to do is their own research, especially for this election. They need to form groups and they need to step into their own power. What I've done with Aboriginal people too was when after they went after me, I went to Wilcannia. I did a survey of the community, which is the worst adult life expectancy in Australia.
Oh, gosh.
Adults are dying. Men at 40, with, 30 rather, late 30s, women at 40.
No way.
Okay? And it's a mostly Aboriginal town. I did a survey there, and I work, and that's how I've come to these conclusions as well.
Do you know what? I'd be checking the water. I'd be checking the water supply.
It was the water. They just stopped drinking the water. Their hair was falling out. Oh. And periods were stopping. So the thing is, I worked with the ladies there were crying every day. They thought it was racism. Oh. I work with them, and what it is, it's not just Aboriginal people. We're told we're dumb. Now, I'm going to share something with you. I couldn't read and write till I was 14.
Wow.
I couldn't read and write, right? And this is why I understand what's going on too.
Yeah.
Because I had to let go of what other people thought of me, yeah, right, and run my own race. So, and then I was, then, you know, this riot came and, you know, I ended up having to leave my son's, you know, it's very traumatic at the time, my son's father and go to Sydney and be on my own. And I was a young mum studying and I felt so different to everybody because I'm from this mixed background, right? I had to let go of trying to be in a group.
Yeah.
And I've moved a lot. And the key to this is, they tell us we're dumb, the human brain, and because they're Nazis, because they believe that certain people are born smart. That is not true.
They have.
I don't believe we're living our human potential.
No, that's right. They have egos the size of cathedrals, these people. I cannot believe what is going on. I just cannot believe it. And this is also, they can have global domination financially, militarily, and they are just trampling on people from all cultures. They are. This will end up in the enslavement of everyone under these digital...
I don't believe that. I believe we're going to stop it. I know where it's going. But the problem... I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
No. The hope and faith.
Yeah.
Hope and faith. And the thing is, God, this for the women in Wilcannia. And even though they're still in that situation, they felt they were dumb, not capable. And I see this with a lot of Australians too, right? This is not just about the liberation of the country. This is about the liberation of yourself.
Yeah.
This is about, because the messages we're being sent is, you need an education. I got 2 degrees, I got a postgrad. No, you don't. Actually, you're better off if you didn't go to university in this day and age. I told my son to leave university because I didn't want him indoctrinated, okay?
Same. I'm saying the same to my kids.
It actually dumbs you down these days.
That's right.
Postgraduate, yeah. Depending on most of them, right? Now, the thing is, we have to believe that we are capable, because I speak to a lot, and the other thing they're doing is, instead of getting angry with the people who've been doing this, we're getting angry with things like concepts. Like woke. What's woke? Yeah. Get up, find the people who are responsible and start attacking them.
Yeah.
Secondly, stop attacking each other.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to do that, aren't they? They're
calling other Australians sheepy.
Yeah.
And they're too dumb. I didn't know about this, Nicola, till a year or so ago. I knew nothing. I was very focused on the domestic violence issue and the criminality in Aboriginal communities, and I had blinkers on, because that's how I thought, that's how I'd won cases, right?
Yeah.
By being incredibly focused.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. And I'm finding there's a lot of put downs of each other. We've got to be compassionate to ourselves.
Yes.
And to our countrymen. We've got to be compassionate. We've got to treat them like family. This is the foundation of Aboriginal philosophy, and the foundation of this country is behaving like that.
Yeah.
And that's what it is to be an Australian. And we've got to start being kind and believing in ourselves.
And believing in each other.
It's also about making people feel that it's not possible.
And that they don't have any power. But I do think there's a great awakening happening in Australia. Would you agree?
Yes, I do. I think people are looking for direction. I'm so proud of all the tradies in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that was incredible.
Yeah.
That was really well done.
And again, they tried that narrative, didn't they, of, oh, they're all right-wing extremists and white supremacists, and never mind, the guys were stood there in turbans.
Well, see, the thing is, I worked out what that is. That is, they are right-wing. Because I didn't know.
It's projection. It's projection.
The climate change, the sustainable development goals, they were all coined by Nazis.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I mean, the thing is, that is what they are.
Yeah.
That is what they are. And it's interesting, Nicola, because I had another revelation maybe about a week ago. When I run trials with pedophiles, right, they're the most manipulative criminal. It's like a snake, right? You've actually got to pin them down and literally chop their head off, right? but it's a ball of law. I'm not into, But it's like that, because everywhere you go, like you present, because, you've got to give them the statements. They'll find a way. They're such liars.
Yeah, they've used language globally to demonize groups of people. You know what it is? It's to...
These are pedophiles, I'm convinced.
Yeah,
because
you're right.
It's shame behavior. And so people have to stop looking at this logically, because part of that, why is this happening? Why is it happening? Why, that sends your brain into a spin,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They are criminals.
Yeah.
They are manipulative. They are snakes in the grass. And they can't come out and have a bloody fist fight with us, right? Toe to toe. They've got to use these manipulative, subversive tactics.
To try and invalidate everything you've got to say.
Yes. And they went after me. They even tried to set me up as a liar, everything. But it's fine. Because you know what? They're weak. Because if you fight them back... We need to stop giving away our power.
Yeah.
We have God-given rights on this country, right? And they're trying to bloody steal it. Now's the time to back yourself and back your countrymen.
Yeah.
And Bill Shorten, who said that, baby, us, he's one of the most evil people in Australia. And he's behind this plot. coming. His day of reckoning is
well,
coming.
Well, I'm hoping they are
they
all.
They don't know what hit them. They don't know what I have planned for them.
Right.
And I just need Australians to feel that, to feel this power, to feel and build the momentum.
Yeah. I think communities, whatever the community is, whatever the community demographic, I think even in our own communities, we need to start coming together. I've noticed things like stickers appearing on the child seat in trolleys, people reaching out to other people saying things like, you know, other people who are trying to give you information are not conspiracy theorists, they're just theorists, they're just trying to be critical thinkers. And it's really extraordinary. I said the other day, Melbourne's become a bit like the movie 12 Monkeys, where we're having to use codes and stickers in trolleys and stuff to send each other messages to say we're here and we're not alone.
Well, if a million of a few hundred thousand just sat in, they don't have enough police.
Yeah.
They don't have enough police. And the thing is, yeah, you're right. That's why, but I'll tell you a beautiful story. So I told you about the riot at Wallaga. Well, the same thing happened, and it was actually caused by the government group, the government leaders, all these riots. There's quite a few riots which destroyed family relationships in the 90s. It happened at Wilcannia, it happened at Kempsey, it happened at Wallaga, and sure, across many other communities. It was a designed thing to break up our family groups. Now, Aunty Sissy, who I think will come on your program, she, off her own bat, made up, they hadn't spoken for 20 years. Because what happened in their riot at Wilcannia, which resulted in a lot of children not going to school because the police weren't there, right? And it just escalated. A man died in that riot, right? And this family of the deceased and the other side who were related through marriage and everything, hadn't spoken for 20 years. She made up with this, with the other lady who's the head of the family.
Wow, that's good.
Because she knew from what I was saying to her that this is this, we have to put down any disputes we have
that were instigated by other people. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter what religion anybody is, but it doesn't matter. We all believe in God. We need to put down the scene, and now's the time to unite.
Yes.
On the values of family.
And Josie, what would you say? Because there's people listening internationally, Josie, and all they see, it's like, honestly, it's like a United Colours of Benetton commercial, and it was all for tourism for years and years. How Australia loves its Indigenous tribes, and what would you say to the rest of the world about what's really, really going on right now? Because we need help, don't we?
Yeah, I need help. I'd love them to go to my website and support in any way they can. What it is, it's a fraud. It's a government conspiracy. It's the biggest plot, maybe in the world, perhaps.
Yeah.
Conspiracy
to take Australia,
the land of the Australian people.
Yeah.
And they have silenced Aboriginal people and used them. And they've been very depressed and confused. And they've wrapped them up in these legal processes like native title in the courts for like 20 years or 10 years. And you know what? This native title, they're not even entitled to get a mortgage off the land.
Oh, that's
they can't
gross.
Use it. It has to be used through an organisation. They can't even get shares in the land. They've set them up to fail as political pawns to use in the media to push through this legislation and stuff that is going to ruin Australia, that is going to give Australia right in the hands of these evil globalists.
Yeah.
From the United Nazi nations.
Yeah. And what's your website, Josie? So people want to contact you, help, pledge, or do something about this. How can they contact you?
I've got a donation button on my website. It's www.onevoiceaustralia.com.au. And, you can contact me on social media as well. It's at Josie Amy Cashman is my profile. And, please support. This is ground zero.
Yeah.
And I believe we stand here, the rest of the world. We need the world. They don't, and the government I was chair of the Safe Community Subcommittee. They know who I am and they've ignored me. And I had the support of elders all around the country. They don't care about Aboriginal people. They are using us, and they're also running this narrative that we're violent, we like to abuse children, when they haven't given our police enough money to police the communities. And I know this because when I was on the Prime Minister's Advisory Council, a Deputy Commissioner of the Northern Territory Government begged me to get 5% of their budget, which the Commonwealth was playing games with, because they want the BLM to happen here. We stopped it. Yeah. We stopped BLM, me and a couple of women in Wilcannia. That should prove to the world we stopped it, we undermined them, because they're not legitimate people. These people behind it are wealthy, arrogant Nazis.
And they're trying to steal, they're thieves, they're trying to steal a land.
They're trying to steal the land off the people. And you know what? There is so much land in this country. Once we get rid of these people, we will be wealthy and happy. We've got land. We've got land. We've got ability. They have been sabotaging us. The UN sabotaging legislation is through every aspect of our country.
Yeah.
The voters in Australia said no, 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 no to deindustrialisation, to net zero. The Prime Minister, after talking to Bill Evil Gates, signed up for this, you know, rubbish.
Against the will of the people. I know that's what I can't understand. It's like they're running it like their own private island, because they're meant to be of the people, by the people, for the people, and the people don't want this.
Well, that's what we've got to do. We've got to get rid of the major parties, because what they've done is they've used blackmail, I believe, right?
Yeah.
They picked bad people. They've got blackmail material on our politicians. They are the puppets of the globalists.
Yeah.
They are not there for the people, and they've signed up for things that Australian people don't even know about, right? That have sabotaged our water system, our ability to make money. Right?
Yeah.
They've actually just run a Senate inquiry, right, that was based on lies about that, you know, that explosion in the caves, right?
Yeah.
In Western Australia.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was a complete lie.
Right.
They're setting up all these race-based trigger events like they did in
America.
The US.
Yeah.
The other thing they've done, the other threat in Australia is the corporations. There's 1,000 corporations that have signed up to Reconciliation Action Plans, which are pushing the Uluru Statement, which is the facility to take our land. 1,000. Just like the BLM, they are going to use the might of the corporations to try to take away the people's voice. That's right. What they're doing.
And you know what, Josie? We will try and get the message out there. What I'm going to do is I will release this podcast, and I'm sure we will have many people globally interested. And then will you come back and we'll do another one soon?
I'd love to. Any time, Nicola, you're an angel.
Oh, so are you, Josie.
God bless you and God bless everybody. And, you know, this is about walking in faith.
Yeah.
And not believing, you know.
Instead of in fear. They've got people walking in fear. Yeah.
There's 366 times, because it includes a leap year, where do not fear is mentioned in the Bible, right? That's true. Because I had to work, I've developed a lot as a human being by going through this, because all of us have fears, right? Part of being a human is going through, is pushing ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, I had to deal, but it's liberating.
It is.
You're going to unshackle yourself.
Unshackle yourself and hopefully unshackle Australia. Josie, thank you so, so much. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you.
And you are onevoiceaustralia.com.au. Thanks, Josie.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
What an extraordinary lady Josephine Cashman is. Former Crown prosecutor, lawyer and businesswoman. I spoke to her yesterday just for the first time, and I thought, wow, we are so on the same page. So if you'd like to support Josie or Australia or Aboriginal people, Indigenous tribes, we need help down here in the Southern Hemisphere. We did not see this coming, and I know that the rest of the globe didn't either. But I think Josie's right when she says that we here in Australia are ground zero. My feeling is this is very much a geological land grab because of our proximity to China. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But needless to say, we all need to have a lot of gumption, a lot of mettle, a lot of strength. And we need to push through this fear. They have indoctrinated us into fear, and we need to push through it for the good of our future, our children's future, and the future of Australia. This has been Charles in Charge. I'll see you again soon.